You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In today's segment of Surrounded by History, we will explore the history and the stories behind one of our local landmarks. So here, I'm going to give you a hint of where we're going today.
All right.
Okay. On the northeast shore of Lake Washington, 12 miles northeast of Mankato, sits 19.2 acres, a beautiful place for youth groups to gather for a week of activities, friendship, and fun.
Oh, obviously. Must be Camp Patterson.
It is Camp Patterson.
All right.
So did you go to summer camp as a kid?
I did not go to any summer camps as a kid, but I've been out to Camp Patterson a few times, a wedding. I've DJed some stuff out there for YMCA and some of their kids' events. I love the area.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful out there.
I'm kind of jealous of kids. They should actually, somebody get them on the line. They should do an adult weekend where you camp out there for a weekend and learn adult
nature skills.
Nature skills. Yeah.
Survival skills. Learn how to make a fire without a clicker.
Yeah.
Yes, for those of us that were deprived, summer camp. Let us have summer camp.
I just want to be out there for, I think it'd be fun. I don't know if there's any AC in any of their units, though. It might get warm.
Yeah. That's probably why there isn't a camp for adults out there. All right, so let's jump in to learn more about Camp Patterson and be surrounded by history. So again, on the northeast shore of Lake Washington, 12 miles northeast of Mankato, sits 19.2-acre Camp Patterson, a beautiful place for youth groups to gather for a week of activities, friendship, and fun. There's a swimming beach, lots of trees, and plenty of open spaces for games. The Mankato Kiwanis has been the owner and guardian of the camp since its inception in 1927. Kiwanis Camp Patterson is rented exclusively to nonprofit youth organizations and annually hosts more than 2,600 children during the three-month camping season. With 165 beds spread among 14 cabins, today youth groups, youth camps such as Celebrate Me Week.
I've heard a lot about that, by the way, from a lot of friends.
Yep. Mankato YMCA, which is where my kids went. Camp Oz, my kids have done that as well. Royal Family Kids and the Blue Earth County 4-H rent Kiwanis Camp Patterson's facilities and provides their own staff, programming, and meals. We will get to more about today's Camp Patterson, but first, we need to go back 100 years to the beginning of the Mankato Kiwanis Club.
Okay.
So the Mankato Kiwanis Club was founded on February 19th, 1921. The charter meeting was held in the Griebel Tea Room on Hickory Street.
Okay.
H.A. Patterson was chosen as acting president. And 90 men, not women, because this was a men's group only, 90 men voted to form a local Kiwanis chapter, and thus one of the first service clubs in Mankato was formed.
Not until 1921?
Mm-hmm.
I thought there'd be something a little bit earlier than that.
Fraternal organizations were in place, like the Elks, the Masonic Temple, the Knights of Columbus. Those are ones that are fraternal organizations.
What does that mean?
Like a brotherhood.
Okay.
Okay, think of it that way. This is a service club, so their whole mission was to come together and do service for their communities.
Okay, got it.
A lot of the fraternal clubs ended up doing some service, but that's not what their main purpose was.
Got it.
Okay, so as a true service organization, it would, quote, devote itself to good rather than greed, to service rather than selfishness, end quote. Membership in the organization, quote, requires that its members be of high grade and stand for fair dealing, for service, for human fellowship, and for the vital principles of the Golden Rule. It is an organization, I love this, with purpose, pep, punch, and personality, end quote.
Who wrote that storyline?
I love it.
They love their alliteration.
The club is dedicated to improving the lives of children around the world, one community at a time. In its early years, some community service ideas the Kiwanis joined forces with were, tell me if any of these sound familiar, putting a dam across the Minnesota River to create a swimming area.
Yep, that's a podcast.
Where was that?
Down by Sibley Park.
There you go. Yep. There you go. Putting seats in the new Armory building and to improve the slough where Mankato West High School sits today.
That was prior for the golf course, which was just a podcast a week ago.
There you go.
I love it.
Isn't that fantastic? So the Kiwanis Club was part of all of those. But they soon decided that their first major independent project was to provide a camp experience for boys and girls, especially those that were underprivileged. The first camp was in 1922 near Sibley Park, and tents were set up. It was just 1 day camp experience. 2 years later, a new camp was found on the north side of Lake Washington. The idea of more permanent structures was discussed and vetoed because it was built on leased land. Mm. To solve that dilemma, in 1927, H.A. Patterson, remember him, yeah. He was the founding Kiwanis member and the first president, in honor of his father, Lester Patterson, bought 9.2 acres of land on the east side of Lake Washington and donated it to Kiwanis for the purpose of a permanent site for a youth camp experience.
Wow.
Not only did the Patterson family donate the land, but they gave liberally toward the construction of the large central lodge that was built in 1930.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
I wonder how expensive land was.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we need to learn a little bit more about Lester P. Patterson. So who the camp is truly named after, the Patterson family, but it was named or gifted in honor of H.A.'s father, Lester. So he was born in 1841 in Ohio. He was already a very successful businessman when he moved to Mankato in 1884. He was instrumental in starting the Mankato Gas Works, which later became the company known as the Mankato Gas and Electric Light Company. That was way before Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy. It was all locally held. But his main business was running a large wholesale grocery business called L. Patterson Mercantile Company. I thought this was interesting. It not only had the home base in Mankato, it had a branch in North Dakota.
Nothing in between.
Really, isn't that crazy? He was also director and large stockholder in the Citizens Bank of Mankato and had large land holdings in northern Minnesota and North Dakota. In The History of Blue Earth County, which is a book about the county, Thomas Hughes, the author, writes glowingly of Lester Patterson, including, quote, "There are few enterprises of note in the community which in some way have not profited by the direct or indirect influence of this prince of promoters." So you can tell he was very invested in his community.
Yeah.
Obviously passed that passion on to his son, who then was that vessel to be able to help Camp Patterson become a reality. So Lester's son, H.A. Patterson, took over the family business after Lester moved to California for retirement. Lester Patterson died in 1924. This is before Camp Patterson becomes to be in 1927. Okay. H.A. Patterson died in 1943, so he only got to see the camp in existence for a short period of time himself. And his obituary shows that he carried on the Patterson tradition of business acumen and social connection that his father had. H.A. Patterson's son, Roland, took over the business and had some of the same fondness for supporting Camp Patterson as his father. So this was generation upon generation of Pattersons that continued to support this camp.
That's pretty awesome.
So it's impossible to realize the history of Camp Patterson without having a sense of both the Mankato Kiwanis and the Patterson family legacies. The relationship between the two has not been altered since the beginning of Camp Patterson. Although the Patterson family is no longer around Mankato, they could be distant relatives,
right,
but that core family, the Mankato Kiwanis remain a vibrant local service organization supporting not only Camp Patterson, but also such community endeavors like Kiwanis Holiday Lights at Sibley Park, Thunder of Drums, and the Kiwanis Dog Park.
Very cool.
So before we head back to the history of Camp Patterson, which is a lot of fun stuff there, I think this might be a good time for a short break.
All right, let's do that. We'll come right back and learn more details about Camp Patterson itself on the beaches of Lake Washington. Is that a good way to say that?
Yes, yeah, that's a great way to say that.
Thank you. I was trying to make it sound very movie-like. Welcome back. This is Surrounded by History with Jessica Potter from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, learning about Camp Patterson, and we've delved into who it was named after. Mm-hmm. And now let's learn a little bit more about the camp itself.
Yeah, this is a fun little history about Camp Patterson. In 1927, the first year of Camp Patterson, I love this description out of the Mankato Free Press.
You know how I feel about old newspaper articles.
I know, this one is wonderful.
The way they wrote were so incredible.
I love this one. So, quote, "A sand beach rising with gradual slope to a grove of tall old forest trees, underneath which 11 large khaki tents are arranged in semicircular formation fronting the shores of Lake Washington, is the setting of a beautiful camp which has unlimited possibilities in the way of development." End quote. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to go there?
Very much so, especially with the large trees.
I know. So also on site was a 5-compartment bathhouse,
okay,
a 100-foot dock, and a cookhouse for making meals. Although this is very primitive by today's standards, the Campfire Girls, which was a youth organization similar to the Girl Scouts, had a grand time as the camp's first residents.
That's fun. Okay.
Yeah. So a couple years later, by 1930, Camp Patterson was organized into 13 weeks of supervised operation. Some of the groups that summer in 1930 were boys from St. Peter and Paul's parochial school. Then the girls got to go the next week. 5 weeks of the Minnesota Valley Boy Scouts, 197
wow.
Boy Scouts. 140 Campfire Girls came over 2 weeks. The YMCA had 85 kids come out. The YWCA had 60 girls come out. And there were 35 members of Job's Daughters. So this is just 3 years after it opened. And look at the amount of kids that were already
out
there.
That's incredible.
It is. It really is. As a respite from rainy weather and a place to gather to eat was a large lodge funded by the Patterson family with a huge stone fireplace. Tents with board floors were in place for campers to sleep. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
The beach was described as the finest on the lake with excellent equipment for swimming and diving.
Now, they just built onto that lodge, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, no, they haven't. So I'll get to that.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's a different lodge.
Oh, it's different altogether. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. So a year later, the newspaper talks a lot about safety at the camp and how that was a huge priority. So here's an example. Each Boy Scout was required to have his own drinking cup, as there was no, quote, community cup at the well. So this was a pretty common thing. Think about the country schoolhouses. You had the dipper.
Yep.
Everybody was drinking.
We drink out of the same garden hose at Grandpa's.
Exactly. Except for this year, the garden hose at least shoots over. This year, like, everybody was drinking out of the same
right.
cup. So this reminded me of a previous podcast we did about the typhoid outbreak in 1908.
Okay. All right.
When you could, then everybody was in that mindset that, hey, well, here, just have a drink.
Right.
And then that really showed that, hey, that's not a great idea. That's a great way to spread disease.
I got you.
So there's health safety happening out there. There was an experienced person in first aid that was ready to give assistance in case of an accident. And with a long history of many tragic drownings in area rivers, does this sound familiar at all? Back to our Sibley Park Dam podcast, there was a desire to have the reputation of Camp Patterson be a good one. Safety measures at the swimming beach were numerous. So this was a huge priority out there.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So 1943, 5.72 acres were added to the camp. 2 cabins a year were being built by the Kiwanis members, sometimes with the help of members of the Elks, the Shriners Clubs, whatever other service organization was around that maybe would head out and help with the camp. Also, the Patterson family donated over $500,000 to build the crafts building, a camp director's cottage, and counselor's cabin. As buildings needed painting throughout the years, Kiwanians would make a day of it at the camp to paint, repair, and clean up the grounds. So a lot of sweat equity was put in.
Yeah, no kidding.
1947, there's an article in the St. Paul Pioneer Press describes some of the activities at Camp Patterson. It stated that no matter what the financial condition of the young person's family, no one was turned away. The four main groups utilizing the camp at this time were the YMCA, the YWCA, Boy Scouts, and Campfire Girls. And over the decades, many other groups also used the camp, including Centenary Methodist Church Family Weekend, 4-H groups, the Y Indian Guides, the Wise Men Group, the YMCA Boys Camp, St. John's Catholic Church Family Camp.
Wow, the list goes on.
It goes on and on and on. So lots of groups over the years have definitely used this space. But this was pretty common over all those groups. At the end of each camping season, the campers were given a survey. One question was, what did you dislike the most about Camp Patterson? Now, what could you possibly say? Camp Patterson is pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Right. So almost unanimously, the answer was the outhouse. The wood-constructed outhouse had served the camp for decades, and it was time to modernize. It wasn't until 1969 that the Mankato Kiwanis Club endorsed a proposal to proceed with the construction of a new bathhouse. In 1970, a ribbon-cutting ceremony was held for the new facility. The all-concrete building was insulated, ventilated, and designed for 125 campers. Besides toilets and sinks, both the boys' and girls' sides had 3 shower heads each.
All right.
So this is the question you had earlier. A tragedy struck in August of 1984. Okay. The over 50-year-old mess hall lodge burned to the ground.
Oh, wow.
That was the one that was built in 1930.
Already 50 years at that point. Wow, yeah, it's crazy. I didn't even think about that part.
Right.
You said it.
Right. It was built in 1930. Okay. Came down in 1984. Many happy memories of the building were in the minds of former campers as they watched it go down. The local Kiwanis Club, with the help of insurance money, raised more than enough to have the hall replaced the next year, which was the building that we were familiar with.
Okay.
In the winter of 85 and 86, all 10 cabins at the camp were replaced with new 16-foot by 18-foot cabins. Each held 5 bunk beds. There was electricity, but no running water to the cabins, which hasn't changed. Raising money for the camp was never too hard because it had touched so many lives through the decades. Recently, the Kiwanis weighed the millions of dollars of value they could get if they sold the valuable lakefront property versus the value of the experience thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of children have every year at this camp.
Wow.
And thankfully, the young people won out.
No kidding. I did not know that. It's recently come into question.
Yep.
I mean, it goes back to, I asked what the property would have cost back in 1930 when it was purchased. But you think
of it today,
too. Oh, it's outrageous today.
And it's not even a question. I mean, their mission is to support kids. And this is an incredible way to do it.
That even came up to a question. Like, let's see how much more money we can get for this property.
Right.
Because,
right,
it would be millions of dollars for that much lakefront.
But that's not what it's about for
good.
The Kiwanis Club.
Good.
In fact, in 2020, the camp had no overnight visitors due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So the Mankato Kiwanis Club took advantage of the lull and did a lot of overdue maintenance work. The cabins were repainted inside and out. New doors and windows were installed. The stairs to the cabins were replaced along with some of the decks. And at this time, the Kiwanis Club launched the, quote, the Next Generation Champion Capital Campaign, end quote, which was a 3-phase construction plan to make needed modifications and changes to the camp, including an additional bathhouse, double the size of that dining hall that we had just talked about,
wow,
add 6 more cabins to have room for 60 more kids, and also they worked on some ADA, some accessibility concerns out there as well. All of these projects were completed in time for the June 2020 camper season.
That's awesome.
A true community effort to support the legacy of Camp Patterson. Many generations came together to make that possible.
You know what's weird, and we don't need to go into this too much because it's in my mind the way it works. Like, 1927, right? Okay, 1930, the clubhouse is built. That's not that long ago. It's just, the 19... Oh! We're coming up in 100 years.
It's true. Oh. It's true.
Like, Camp Parsons is about to celebrate 100 years.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's incredible.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it is.
It really is. And you just think about the generations of kids that have had experience out there. It's so wonderful. So, but, you know, this whole thing is about legacy. And so speaking of legacy, there's another wonderful little legacy piece with Camp Patterson. Back in 1941, it was decided that a camp director should be hired. The director was the only consistent element at the camp. Each group would bring their own food, their cooks, their instructors, their supervisors of their youth, all of that kind of stuff. But the camp director was on site to assist all of the groups to take care of maintenance, serve as a lifeguard, was kind of like the go-to person. So in 1941 is when they opened this up. There were four individuals that served as director between 1941 to 1979. These were only summer jobs, mind you. They included Robert Hansen, Glenn Leading, Albert Russ, and Michael Bean. In 1980, a full-time year-round caretaker was brought on and given housing at the camp. Al and Joan Starkey would serve in this post for 39 years.
When it's a good gig, it's a good gig.
At first, they lived in a trailer at the camp, and eventually a house was provided. This house was moved from Marsh Street in Mankato to Camp Patterson when the hospital expansion took place.
Oh, wow.
The Starkeys raised three children at the camp, and when they retired, their son Nathan and his wife Melissa became caretakers, the second generation.
That is such a cool story.
Another Camp Patterson legacy.
I love that. And again, it's got to be a good gig to grow up as their kids on that property. Yeah, there's a lot of kids there during the camps, but the downtime, all the area you had to play and run.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just imagining when I was a kid how much fun that would have been.
True legacy. So whether you've experienced Camp Patterson as a youth or as a parent dropping off your kid at camp, or maybe you volunteered out there, no one can deny the impact and legacy Camp Patterson has had on our community and our youth. Almost a century of fun, laughter, learning, and growing, a true local landmark. We hope you enjoyed today's program as we explored the history of Camp Patterson, a local landmark. All of the information we shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society and a special article researched and written by Tim Pulis for the Historical Society's publication. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.